T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bradfo Show. That's my open. That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
You remember Mike Napoli, 2013, 23 home runs, 842 OPS, huge beard, world championship, then celebrating that world championship by walking shirtless down Boylston Street. A couple of years later, he was gone. He was out of Boston, blown things up. He was over to Texas. And a couple of years after that, now he's back with Texas for a third time. Well, we caught up once again with Mike Napoli, and he's been on the show a few times. He's always good, always insightful, always honest. We get a little bit more into the behind the scenes of Mike Napoli in Boston, which is pretty good and pretty entertaining, as well as some untold stories of when he was actually with the Red Sox and the fact what he thought of the clubhouse when he was here and what he thought of the clubhouse when he was on his way out, and what he thinks of really the Red Sox and Rangers clubhouses right now as we sit here. Mike Napoli heads into the second game of this Red Sox series with Texas with 10 home runs. He can still hit them. He can also still give a really good podcast. So here it is.
One of the absolute favorites of the Bradfo Show podcast. Last time he was on, he was sitting in front of a locker in Cleveland, and now he's sitting in a dugout at Fenway Park with his sixth tour of duty with the Texas Rangers, as far as we know. Mike Napoli. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be in this dugout and have some space.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is they've rearranged the entire dugout. They put seats in Fenway Park. Ever since you left, this place was sort of a shithole, but now it's brand new and everything's great. And you led the league in hugs. I haven't seen that many hugs since the Cubs came in here. And I gotta say this, Mike, you have mastered the art of the hug.
Yeah.
And I did notice that the hugs for the baseball players were a little different than the hugs for the female employees.
Well, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be.
That's fair.
I mean, to get Pedroia to hug you is really tough. So I had to let Butter know that he was putting his head on my chest to get in for the real thing.
It was a little bizarre because he literally nestled his head into your bosom.
He's a bad hugger. He kind of gives like the arms out, ass out kind of hug, like awkward hug. So I always make him, you know, come in tight for the real thing.
So what do you miss most about Boston? I mean, this and say, oh, the atmosphere and everything else. But what do you legitimately miss most about Boston? And you don't still have your place here, right?
I do still have it. I rent it out, though. I don't know. I miss the city. I mean, I actually really enjoyed being around the city. You know, I said it before. I feel like it's like me, the people in the city, blue collar, you know, that's how I grew up. So, I mean, being able to come to this park and play here every day was so cool. You know, it's a packed house every night. You're expected to do well, and if you don't do well, they'll let you know about it. So, I mean, I really enjoyed those things.
I mean, you go other places, and is there Texas? You've been, like I said, you've been to Texas for whatever, half your career. You've been to Anaheim, you've been to Cleveland, and that was a great run last year. Congratulations on that. But is there any other place like here? And I'm not only talking about, you know, between 7 and 10 at night, but the whole ball of wax, the whole deal.
It's pretty tough to beat here. That's why I think I enjoyed it so much. You know, it was just full package. I mean, I won't sell that place unless I really have to, you know?
How much you renting it out for?
A lot. Yeah, I mean, someone for 18 months, about 13 grand a month.
So the same person?
Same person.
So is anyone we know?
No. No. I mean, I wouldn't let any players in there. I mean, I know myself, so.
So when you talk about Boston, and being here. And obviously part of Mike Napoli in Boston was, like you said, you roam the streets without a shirt on. You were one of the people. You were a man of the people in Boston. What's it like in... Because some guys don't like that. Some guys don't like... There's more attention. There's you can't go out. You can't do this. You can't do that. What is it like to be man about town in Boston?
Well, I think that's... I mean, I'm never looking for the attention, but I'm just... I feel like I'm like everyone else, you know? I mean, it's... I'll go out and have a beer with you, you know? I mean...
Well, it doesn't hurt that... It doesn't hurt that you don't have to pay for it either.
Right. Well, I mean, everywhere you go, it's free. I mean, yesterday I went to the Yard House just to hang out for a little bit, and you know, they pick up my tab, you know? So I was trying to explain to a couple of coaches that this is what happens when you win a championship in Boston. You get taken care of. But yeah, I mean, it's just a great city. I mean, I like to go out and have fun. I'm not afraid to be around people or have to have a security guard or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I think that's what people love about me, that I will go out and, you know, have a good time and not be this so-called special person that meets special needs or anything, you know. I just like to go out and have fun and be a regular person.
Was there any time where you felt when you have a moment? Give me a moment. Give me your favorite moment of being, once again, man about town. Because all I have to do, and believe me, I probably will when I surface this podcast, I'll do the picture of you walking, you know, jacked up with your postseason girth, walking through down Boylston Street. But any besides that, was there a moment like this is pretty cool? This is pretty cool to be here, to be in Boston.
I mean,
it's a moment you sold your condo. Or rented out your condo and found out you didn't have to spend another dime in Boston?
I mean, obviously, after winning it and doing the whole spiel for the month party after, you know, I mean, that was cool. I mean, the whole parade. And
do you remember the parade?
A little bit. I remember driving the duck boat on the water. Yeah. See, or I wasn't really driving. I was just honking the horn, waving at people.
See, here's the thing. When I say, do you remember anything? And you say, a little bit, assuming because you had a few cocktails. The part that you're supposed to remember isn't supposed to be the part where you're actually driving a vehicle.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. But I mean, it was just so much fun. I mean, I had so many emotions going on with the whole contract thing. You know, I lost the World Series in Texas. I hadn't had another opportunity there and actually won it. You know, I had one of the best years of my career. It was just so perfect. And so I'll never forget that, but it was just that whole moment of being able to celebrate and do it here, win it here, just how crazy the fans were. I mean, it was so perfect.
Did you ever, in all the times you were obviously traded 2014, and throughout since that time, was there any point where you thought there might be a glimmer of hope of you coming back here?
I mean, in keeping in touch with, you know, some of the guys, yeah, I mean, there was hope. I would love to come back here and play. It's a special place for me. I understand the business part of what goes on, so there was no hard feelings, and I mean, I would have came back in a heartbeat.
Is it weird you go over there and you do your hugs and everything else? There's not a lot of guys left now. Guys are hugging, and but you know, some of these guys are coming out. I mean, Hanley came over, hugged. You never even played with Hanley Ramirez, but he's nice, you know. But there's not a lot of guys left over. Is it a little strange now seeing that?
Oh yeah, it's not really weird playing against them. You know, like, I just played against Cleveland opening day, and it was weird. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The last game we played was game 7. Mm-hmm. Where I'm opening the season against the guys that I just went through a whole year with and created great relationships, and trying to have that edge was tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing, I'm facing Kluber, you know, like, so it was weird. But I mean, with a lot of guys not being here, it's not as weird, you know, playing against them, coming back and playing here. Last year was weird for me.
Really?
You know, yeah, it was. I mean, it was just. And then what they did for me, you know, on the Jumbotron. I mean, it was just. It was cool. So I mean, it was hard to come back here and play.
A lot in today, or as we sit here right now, from the Red Sox point of view, a big talk is about, you know, they're one game over 500, clubhouse this, clubhouse that, John Farrell. You played for John Farrell. Tell me what type of manager is, and in terms of like how you view that, not only playing here but from the outside. Just, I guess, because it's the topic of the day, what type of guy, what type of manager he is.
Yeah, I mean, he was great with us. But that's just the nature of the beast, you know. I mean, it's you're expected to have a really good year every year. I mean, they had some. Trades and got supposed to be really good coming off a really great year. I think the presence of Poppy not being in that clubhouse and his production, it's tough. I mean, like, to have someone that everyone looks up to, kind of keeps everyone together, is able to get into somebody's ass if he needs to, or, you know, saying he can control so many different things over there, that when you lose a guy like him, it's tough. You know, it's hard for someone to be able to step up and have that role. I mean, it's just cut, dry, and done. So I think until someone and they come together, until someone steps up to that role, I mean, it's going to be tough, you know. But they are a game over 500.
Yeah, but that's not acceptable.
That's not – yeah, it's not good. You're, what, four games behind the Yankees, so it's not – it's unacceptable. So I don't know. It's tough, you know. It's – just won a World Series 2 years ago.
I mean, it would be fair to say that when you were here, in 2013 especially, this was a clubhouse sort of rule itself. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a knock on Farrell or whatever, but you guys were able to sort of delegate yourself. And that's, I would imagine, the best way to do it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's the way you want it to be done. It's the way it is here. You know, we leading with Beltre.
Yeah.
I mean, we police ourselves. You know, I mean, we don't ever have to have the manager or anybody come and make sure everything's all right. You know, there's something that's set in stone. We have rules. You follow the rules. You guys are young. You do. You know, everyone wants to do that and wants to be part of that to, you know, take it to the next guy and then the next year. And then people are learning how to be leaders. So, I mean, that, for me, that is huge. Everywhere I've been and I've won, mm-hmm. it's been like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think people undervalue chemistry and how everybody interacts with each other. Veterans, I mean, there's not many veterans in the game anymore.
No.
You know, they're getting out. But who's teaching these kids how to go about their business the right way and play the game, or even off-field stuff? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all babies, you know?
Right, well, look at this,
22-year-olds, and so it's tough. I mean, Dave Price just took a ball off the chest.
He makes $30 million. It's okay. But going back to when you were here, like your last year here, that's what I always said. I said, you know, Pedroia is sitting there, you're sitting there, and you're trying to figure out, you know, how to get out of this slump. How do I get going? And you don't want to have to really – I don't have to deal with a lot of the other stuff because you got to worry about yourself. Pedroia's the same way, and Ortiz is – you know, Ortiz. But it wasn't like the year before. I didn't get the sense that there wasn't a lot of other guys to sort of lean on, because while you're going through a slump, you want someone else to deal with that stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's – it was a totally different team, though. I mean, we lost the whole middle of our mm-hmm. – You know, I mean, we have Pedroia, but, you know, take away Steven, take away Ellsbury. Salty was gone, you know, so it was just a different feel. You had young guys coming in that are trying to get their feet wet and stay in the big leagues and trying to do what they have to do so they can stay there. And you got people going different directions. So, I mean, it was a totally different team to where we had – all veterans. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Will, who was probably our young guy, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. So, his hand comes up at the end, but yeah, it will. Yeah.
So it was all about us winning. Like, no one cared about anything but winning. Like, we knew how to pick each other up. We knew how to, you know, lean on each other. So it was one of the coolest teams that I don't think ever could be assembled chemistry-wise through every single person. It was unbelievable.
And it's a tough thing because, you know, obviously you're not going to – you have Mookie Betts, you have Jackie Bradley, you have Andrew Benintendi, you have Xander Bogaerts, but they're all, you know, 24, 23, 22, 26 years old. You're not going to say, well, we can't have them because they don't have experience. But like you said, I think that the chemistry and the leadership part of it, however you can find that, is pretty important.
100%. I think that's where it starts. Because you can't have a bunch of guys going in different directions, not having the same goal. So when the team comes together, there's nothing better than you guys knowing that and being able to lean on each other and pick each other up, have fun, wanting to come to the park every day and interact with each other. So, I mean, it's a big part of why teams are good.
How important was Lovello?
Real important. He's smart. He's smart. I know him going over to Arizona. He'd do a good job. I mean, they had a good team. They were, I don't want to say undervalued, but they have players over there that could be well. And he's a smart guy. He knows the game really well, and you know, he's going to do really well over there.
So the last question, because I know you got to go put on your new T-shirt that you just received. Since we are now three or four years out, I can bring this subject up. One of my favorite moments in baseball, which was when you got your – was this 2014?
Might have been 13. No, it was 14.
Because you were trying to get things going. You're trying to loosen things up a little bit. You get your shipment of bats in. Usually they say Mike Napoli on them. Louisville Slugger? Louisville – what is it? What's your brand?
Marucci.
Yes. We don't want – the fine folks at Marucci don't ever say that Marucci isn't creative, isn't sympathetic to their clients. What did you have done to your bat instead of it saying Mike Napoli?
I might have had a couple lady friends' name on the bats. Whatever. Whenever I'd get a hit, I'd just keep using that one and took a while to find which one had hits, and you know, it was just a funny thing to do, mess around with the guys. They thought it was great, and I guess trying to slump bust it, I guess.
How did that come about? Because I've never seen that. I've never heard of that. Was this something one day you said, or was this a promise to one of the lady friends?
No, I just thought it just came to me. I'm like, oh, maybe just put someone's name on my bat, you know, and I just did. I told Tom, like, hey, I need you to put these names on the bat. And he's like, oh, God, like, how's this going to go down? You know, so, but they did it, and you know, I used them.
Was Marucci, did they say, what the hell, what are you talking about?
Nah, I mean, I didn't really hear anything, but it happened.
I remember the first one. I remember the first name. Do you remember the first name?
We're not going to reveal.
Okay, we won't. All right, that's fine. Like, were you surprised that nobody picked up on this? Because this went basically the entire year, right?
Yeah, I think some people picked up on it, but yeah, it's over with now.
I know, but it's one of the most creative, and we can sit here and applaud you. Of all the things I applaud you for, that is one of the greatest things. All right, Mike, well, once again, one of the favorites for the podcast. Really appreciate it, and I finally came through. It's not a Mayor Marty Walsh T-shirt, which I still to this day say you got him elected by putting that on in the bar, but it is an App Radfo T-shirt. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for accepting the T-shirt.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.